every day, Mass is celebrated at St. Dominic's Chapel at the Chancery Offices of the Archdiocese of Atlanta. The following is a recording of today's readings and homily from a previous year.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The crowd in Philippi joined in the attack on Paul and Silas, and the magistrates had them stripped and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After inflicting many blows on them, they threw them into prison and instructed the jailer to guard them securely. When he received these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and secured their feet to a stake. About midnight, while Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God as the prisoners listened, there was suddenly such a severe earthquake that the foundations of the jail shook. All the doors flew open and the chains of all were pulled loose. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, thinking that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted out in a loud voice, Do no harm to yourself. We are all here. He asked for a light and rushed in, and, trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you and your household will be saved. So they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to everyone in his house. He took them in at that hour of the night and bathed their wounds. Then he and all his family were baptized at once. He brought them up into his house and provided a meal, and with his household rejoiced at having come to faith in God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Your right hand saves me, O Lord. Your right hand saves me, O Lord. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart, for you have heard the words of my mouth. In the presence of the angels, I will sing your praise. I will worship at your holy temple and give thanks to your name. Your right hand saves me, O Lord. Because of your kindness and your truth, you have made great above all things your name and your promise. When I called, you answered me. You built up strength within me. Your right hand saves me, O Lord. Your right hand saves me. The Lord will complete what he has done for me. Your kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your hands. Your right hand saves me, O Lord. Alleluia. 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 I will send to you the Spirit of truth, says the Lord. He will guide you to all truth. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, Now I am going to the one who sent me. And not one of you asks me, Where are you going? But because I told you this, grief has filled your hearts. But I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world in regard to sin and righteousness and condemnation. Sin because they do not believe in me. Righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will no longer see me. Condemnation, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And so liturgically, based on the reading we just heard from St. John's Gospel, the Church is anticipating the Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is spending time with his disciples, with his apostles, trying to get them to understand that there is an advocate that will come because I'm leaving. And I don't think they still got it yet that Jesus was leaving again. And so maybe they didn't want to think about it. And so they didn't really hear the message about the advocate, or at least they weren't paying much attention to it because they were still so caught up with Jesus rising from the dead. The first reading is a very interesting one because it talks about Paul and Silas and their struggles as being disciples of Jesus in the early church. This is post-ascension. And Paul and Silas and other disciples were commissioned to go forth and to preach, to teach, whatever they could remember that they saw Jesus do or hear and remember what he said. And so it was quite a responsibility that these early evangelists had in bringing the church to life, the church that Jesus founded, who he came to found, the early church that we now are hearing since Easter. But today's episode, so to speak, shows that there's a great resistance against the church and those who preach the church. And Silas and Paul happened to get arrested for what they were saying. They were being detained, jailed. And so when the guards brought Silas and Paul to the jail keeper, it was understood that they should be secured very, very tightly. And so the jailer assured his superiors that they will be taken care of, don't worry. And so the jailer puts them into an inner cell. And so there's actually a cell inside a cell where they were confined, and as they sat down, they were bruised, obviously, and tortured first. They had their feet fastened to a stake in the ground in the inner cell. So it was pretty secure. And so nightfall came. The jailer was convinced that these guys aren't going anywhere, not on my watch. Because his reputation depended on it, perhaps his job depended on it. And so he wanted to be assured that they were going to be there. And night fell, and there seemed to be a disturbance, like an earthquake. There was a shaking of the buildings. And as that was happening, Paul and Silas were praying, were singing. It was so contrary to what you would think a prisoner who had just been beaten would be doing. But nonetheless, they were. They were very much at peace. They were very committed to the work that they were doing, and there was a price to pay, perhaps their life. And so they didn't know how all this was going to end until the shackles from their feet fell free, and the doors and the windows of the jailhouse and the inner cell all opened up as a result of the shaking of the building. And of course, there was a lot of dust, and the jailer, who was awoken by the earthquake, feared the worst, that they would have escaped. And that perhaps meant his job, his reputation, how could he support his family? And so he was beside himself. And so he assumed that they had left, they had escaped Paul and Silas. And so the only way out of this, the only respectable way out of this for the jailer, was to kill himself rather than face the punishment or the embarrassment of being in charge of Paul and Silas's imprisonment. But Paul saw what this man was doing, taking his sword out and about to kill himself with his sword. Paul says, "Stop, stop, wait." And the jailer was stunned by a voice, and then he realized that they hadn't escaped. They were still in prison. And even though they could have easily left through the doors or the windows. And so this jailer was so caught up with them that there was a conversion. There was a conversion in this man's heart because Paul stopped him from killing himself. And so he was so touched by that and so affected by Paul and Silas's presence and the way they understood being imprisoned and how easily they accepted it, even with prayer and song. This man was so impressed that he brought him to their own home, to his own home, to his own family, and he fed them and he tended to their wounds. And they were, again, so impactful on this man and his family that the jailer was baptized that night together with his family. And so we never know when we read the scriptures or when we even live out our life that some of the nameless people that we come in contact with, sometimes we just don't know the effect that we might have on them. We may never know. They don't know our name, but they may know what we wear, or they may know where we work, and they see in us something different. They see in us an influence. They see in us a peacefulness that we have, and the charity that we provide, and the counsel and the comfort. And so this man was so impressed, as many that come in and out of our life, that he committed himself to the work of the church by being baptized. And so I think it goes to say that these four young men who are about to be ordained priests in the next 2 weeks have a whole life ahead of them of priestly ministry. And right now they have high hopes for themselves. They hope to be as effective as Paul and Silas in their ministries. They think that everything will just be wonderful and that people will flock to their churches to hear them preach and want to be in their company. And they see them as holy men, and they even strive to imitate them. And yet it's not always like that. You may want to dwell on the prison part and the tortured part, because that all comes with it. There is a price to discipleship, and we see it time and time again. The prophets in the Old Testament, the apostles, and the disciples of Jesus in the New Testament. There is a price to pay for faithfulness, for holiness, for a life of commitment to God and his work. There's ridicule, there's misunderstanding, there's accusations, there's all kinds of things that will be thrown your way. But see that as simply a way of verifying and making valid your effect on their life, those who persecute you, those who will turn against you. Obviously, they recognize that there is something special about you. There is something that is unusual, and they're attracted by it, but nonetheless, they fear it, and they suspect it, that there is something unusual about you because of the way you live, because of the way you minister. And so it's a mixture, as we can see in today's readings, this idea of following Christ completely, leaving your life behind and embracing a new life, one that's committed to discipleship, to preaching the word, to evangelization, to comforting God's people, to living Matthew 25. And people will misunderstand your intentions and perhaps dismiss you. But it doesn't matter in the end. It's what you do and why you do it. What you do for God, for his people. It's a fulfillment of your commitment as priests. And so there will be misunderstandings and there will be ridicule. But take it on the chin and move forward and look to Paul and Silas and all those who have gone before us, the martyrs of the church, those who have truly been effective in their ministry, quietly in many ways, in many times, but also those who have caught the public eye. And so just as we heard in the readings not long ago, don't become discouraged, because it's a wonderful life that you are embracing, and it is filled with all kinds of unknowns, as that soldier had no idea the night before that he was going to be baptized and a follower of Jesus. And we don't always know what's coming next in our ministry, or how effective we have been in what we have done or said. And it's all part of the mystery of God and the mystery of your vocation as a disciple of Christ. And may the Lord grant you his peace. Amen.